Good afternoon and welcome to A Look at the Arts. I'm Tom Lounges. My in-studio guests this afternoon are former Valparaiso University faculty jazz trio member and current band leader of the Billy Foster Trio, Mr. Billy Foster. Also with him, his lovely wife, Renee Miles Foster, who sings with the group. They've got a special event coming up to celebrate Black History Month on February 28th at Indiana University's Berglund Auditorium. We're going to talk all that jazz and talk about this great event coming up. That's free to attend. So stay with us on A Look at the Arts. Good afternoon. It's time to take a look at the arts. I'm Tom Lounges. Thank you for supporting public radio and tuning in at 89.1 FM. With me, as always, Dan Clark on the board. And we've got a special guest with us tonight. Actually, two special guests. Billy Foster is here, as well as Renee Miles Foster. They are part of the Billy Foster Trio and Friends CD. In fact, we're going to play something to start things off. And then we're going to talk about Billy's special production that he's bringing in tribute to Black History Month at IU Northwest. It's the Jazz History Concert featuring Billy Foster and Friends. It's February 28th. It's a two-hour event. We'll find out more about it and who will be there. But first, let's get all that jazz started here. This is Jammin' at the House, Billy Foster Trio. A look at the arts. I'm Tom Lounges. That, of course, jamming at the house, and I'm suspecting that it's at the Foster House. Am I right?
Right. Well, the piece was named after when we first started to learn how to play. We would gather at my house and just play all day long, and so that's kind of what that title refers to.
Okay. Now, my guest today is Billy Foster, also Renee Miles Foster.
Yes.
I think I said Mills earlier. But Miles. Miles Foster. And you guys are part of the Billy Foster Trio, and you are a guest with the trio,
correct? Thank you so much. Yes.
So I'm not sure how the status works when you're a trio and you got four members.
Yeah, well, it's not always a trio. Okay. As a matter of fact, sometimes we use a horn player like we're going to use on the 28th, and we're calling it the quintet.
Okay. I've noticed that with jazz. Sometimes it's a trio, a combo, a quintet, a quartet,
right,
a sextet.
Right.
It's like you guys just kind of make up whoever you are at the moment, who's there.
Right.
Rock bands don't do that. It's like we got four guys in the band and a singer.
And that's it.
Well, that makes it even more enjoyable.
Because you never know what you're going to get.
Well, when you have a group of musicians who really love their profession and it's their passion, it makes it so interesting to have the combinations, just like we're going to have Carl Cohen, who's the saxophone player, but he also plays iwi, which is an interesting instrument.
Okay, so I don't think I'm familiar with that.
When you come, he'll show you and he'll give you an example of an iwi.
Electronic wind instrument.
Okay, I was going to say, is it a wind instrument?
Yeah,
it's an
electronic synthesizer, really, but you blow it, like a horn.
Are there any star iwi players out there, like Miles was on trumpet?
Well, Michael Brecker was known for
from the Brecker
that.
Brothers?
Yeah, from the Brecker Brothers.
Okay.
Woodwind players like to use them.
Okay. Interesting. We're here to talk about a special show, February 28th. It's called the IUN Northwest Jazz History Concert, featuring Billy Foster and friends. And tell us what that's all about, how it came together. And then I want to get a little background on you two. You've been together for a while performing, and of course, you're husband and wife.
Right.
So there's a neat connection there I want to explore.
Okay.
Having just come off of Valentine's Day.
Of course.
But let's talk about the show on the 28th. What can we expect and how did it come together?
Well, it came together in this manner. Every February, of course, is Black History Month.
Mm-hmm.
And so IUN has a series of programs that it does throughout the month of February. They have some films that they're showing and different guest speakers come in. And so we're part of that.
Okay.
We're part of that. This performance is part of that series this year.
Now, you have taught adult classes for jazz history. I have taken that class. It's an interesting class, say the least, multi-week. Is this kind of a spin-off of that? Is this like the abridged version, the Cliff Notes version? Because it is history, it is jazz.
Okay.
But there's more performance, I think, with this.
Yeah, with this, of course, you know that the class that you took takes 6 weeks.
Right.
And still, there isn't enough time to get everything in. So. Mm-hmm. This is a 2-hour performance, so you can imagine it's going to be very brief.
Very brief.
Yeah, really abbreviated. So what we're going to do is talk about each style, and then the band will demonstrate the style.
Okay.
We'll do that. We're going to take the first half of the concert to do that, and then the second half we're just going to play a concert.
So it'll be a 2-hour set, or 2-hour show with a break in between?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So the first part's a little talking, a little playing, a little talking, a little playing. The second half is a full-blown jazz concert.
Right.
Okay. How did this idea come about for this? This is the first time you're doing this for Black History, isn't it?
Yes, but we've been in the schools doing this for a number of years, where we have a Black History concert with the band playing and demonstrating the styles to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it also incorporates the children participating with the various instruments. Billy even made a homemade bass, for an example, for them to play on. And then they have the marimbas.
Is it xylophones,
and then the various instruments, so that as they play through songs, then they get a chance to apply their trade.
Yeah, and we have the teachers come up and help us scat sing.
Wow, that should be fun.
It is.
Did you do that this year as well, or is this replacing that for this year?
No, we haven't done that anywhere this year.
Okay.
And the show for Indiana University, we're invited guests of the diversity department with Mr. Wallace and his staff. And then you have several other groups that sponsor the
Yeah, this
as well.
This particular performance is being sponsored by the Indiana University Office of Diversity, Equity, and Multicultural Affairs.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah, that is. That is.
Along with that two other organizations.
Well, the African Diaspora Studies and, I just said the Department of Minority Studies, but yeah, those departments are presenting this program, are sponsoring this program.
And this is free to attend. Anyone can come.
Anybody can come, and we hope everybody in Northwest Indiana will be there.
6 to 8 p.m. Again, mm-hmm. It's February 28th.
That's
a Tuesday night. Of course, I'll be on the air, so I won't be able to be there unless I can get Dan to fill in for me.
You know I'm there for you, Tom. Always there.
You know, and it's an exciting time mm-hmm. because not only are we performing at Indiana University, of course, Billy teaches at Indiana University, but we have to say that they're preparing for a new art center, which will then have like a 500-seat auditorium and a 100-seat theater, which will be a wonderful addition to Northwest Indiana and its arts culture.
Mm-hmm. You guys are going to be performing live. We're going to play another cut. I assume this one has Renee on it?
It does.
All right. We're going to play another one off the Billy Foster Trio and Friends Portrait album. And then we're going to talk about how this lovely couple came together through music. I Thought About You.
I took a trip on a train and I thought about you. I passed a shadowy lane and I thought about you. Two or three cars parked under the stars, a winding stream, moon shining down on some little town. Would each mean the same old dream? And every stop that we made, well, I thought about you. But when I pulled down the shade, well, I really felt blue. I peeped through the crack, looked at the track, one leading back to you. And what did I do? I thought about you. Thank you. train and my thought above you. I pass a shadowy lane and I thought about you. Two or three cars parked under the stars, a winding stream, moon shining down on some little town, and with each beam the same old dream. And every stop that we made, well, I thought about you. But when I pulled down the shade, well, I really felt blue. I peeped through the crack, looked at the track, one leading back to you. And what did I do? Yes, what did I do? Well, what did I do? I thought about you.
I thought about you. In fact, I'm thinking about you right now, and I'm glad that you're here on 89.1 FM Lakeshore Public Radio, and I'm glad that the talented folks that you just heard there are with us as well. We've got Billy Foster, and we've got Renee Miles Foster. That was a beautiful voice we just heard, and the song I Thought About You is off Portraits. It's our Portraits, Billy Foster Trio and Friends. And Billy, when did that album come out?
That's kind of an oldie at this point. Okay. It came out in 2005.
Wow.
Yeah, we sort of named the album after that picture. Renee drew the cover picture.
A lady of many talents.
Yeah, on the album. And I had written a song called Portrait, so they kind of all fit together there.
Now, I'm curious on how you two came together. You're a yin and yang. You fit together so well. Just your personalities, obviously your talents. Did music bring you together, or was music a byproduct of having come together?
Well, music brought us together.
Okay.
I was introduced to Billy by a piano player from Gary, Indiana, and I often sang jazz in high school, and most people would say, you're singing all that slow music, that's old music, don't sing it. But anyway, I eventually had a friend, Mr. Sanders, who was at St. Monica Church, and I was in a choir. He said, young lady, you don't just sing gospel and spirituals and the songs that we sing in the Catholic Church. You have a voice that would fit into jazz. And so he then introduced me to Mona's Lounge and the various artists that performed there. Mm-hmm. And after he, the piano player, his name was, they called him Skeeter Hart, and so they
jazz guys always have cool names.
Yeah. And so they took me to Skeeter's house, and he told me I had to learn three songs, which was Bye Bye Blackbird.
Okay.
I had to sing I can't remember the songs. Bye Bye Blackbird was one, Misty, and he said you have to learn how to sing a ballad because you can be very expressional with the lyrics.
Like a Billie Holiday kind of type thing?
Well, not so much as Billie Holiday. It's the form of it. You listen to the song, and then the lyrics are so, like with Misty, look at me, I'm as helpless as a kitten up a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had to learn how to kind of sing it. And then I would listen to various singers. My favorite was Ella Fitzgerald. And then I learned about Carmen McRae and, of course, Sarah Vaughan.
Mm-hmm.
But then along the way, I also remembered hearing Johnny Hartman, who I fell in love with.
I'm not familiar with him.
Oh, man, he's such a dynamic singer. He's somebody you could look up on YouTube and you'd fall in love with him as well. So his voice and his range was so dynamic in a sense that it would draw you in to what he was saying and what he was, singing, in other words. And so I fell in love with that. But in the meantime of going to the lessons with Skeeter Hart, Jesse Hart, I got to a point where he said, there's nothing else I can help you with, but I know someone named Billy Foster who would be very helpful with you. And he said, and the main thing is I feel that he would accompany you very well. In which case, that's how I met Billy Foster.
Now, how long ago was that?
Oh, that's at least 40 years ago now.
Yeah, I was in the 70s.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And she hired me to play some gigs, so.
Yeah.
So that's.
So did her singing get to your heart? Is that what it did it? You talk about those lovely romantic ballads.
Well, no.
Well, the gigs got to my heart at first.
And no, I believe that got to your wallet. you know, it got you your wallet. Yeah. But, you know, along the way, over the years, you know, I knew him. Mm-hmm. Well, now it's like 40 some odd years. And I knew him for 28 some years. We dated for, I always say, 10 years. And then we've been married for going on 20 years. So wow. It's a matter of putting all this time together. But I feel with Billy, he's always been a mild-mannered kind of person. He's mm-hmm. has a nice personality. And I felt at the time it would be good to have him in my life along with writing the music that I sing.
Yeah, it works out perfectly. She sings, I play.
And you know, I feed him along the way.
And Renee is very talented. She's a great cook and mm-hmm. also a painter. And she sings, so.
Is it hard at all to work together to separate home and work when you're creating?
We not only love it, we have a passion for it. And as a musician myself, I can understand, like, for example, when you go out in crowds, you have people who admire him. Mm-hmm. Like, he has a friend named Mary LaVan, I'll say. And she tells me that I am not his wife, she is. And our daughter, she said, she is my daughter. And Billy Foster is my man. Now, I don't know about you, but he belongs to me.
That's a loyal fan.
That's a loyal fan.
Yes, and she's been around, and we want to thank all those fans, mm-hmm. too, because they've supported us through the years. As I was saying, I started in high school, and now I'm 60, and Billy's going to be approaching 70 this year. So we've been doing this for quite some time, but it's because we love it, mm-hmm. and the various people that we've met through the years have been exceptional in that they're the personalities of creative people are really something to tout, because they become not only friends, but they're really talented musicians. Mm-hmm. I met years ago Etta Jones, who has passed away, in Houston person, Louis Belson, and I have quite a list of people. And Billy's got Mike Wolfe as a friend, and we have Henry Johnson, who's a friend as well.
Very
I went
talented.
To high school with Henry. And, you know, it's nice to know people through the years, and it's nice to meet them, talk to them, and then come back through the years, and they're the same person that you met years ago. They have the same demeanor, you know, which makes it nice.
Now, the show that you guys are doing on February 28th, how much of it will be vocal and how much will be instrumental?
It's kind of half and half.
Okay.
We use both vocal and instrumental to demonstrate all the styles.
And you're covering a variety of styles.
We're
from the turn of the century till now, basically?
Yeah, we're going to do New Orleans, swing, bebop.
Modal jazz,
electric jazz. We have quite a gamut that we're going to cover.
Mm-hmm. We talk about the evolution of jazz and how it evolved from New Orleans, Chicago.
New Orleans is the birthplace of jazz,
right.
Correct?
Yes.
I mean,
right.
That's pretty much universally acceptable.
Yes. Okay.
Right, and pretty much. There's some people that say there's jazz that started in some other places, but New Orleans definitely has all the documentation as to what went on there during that first period of time. Okay. A lot of those guys got out of there pretty early, too. Like, it started to be formed around 1900, and then there were guys leaving New Orleans around 1912 and earlier, going out as far as California and playing the music. So I suspect that's how some of these things got started.
And as they went from city to city, as I recall in your class, the sound morphed a little bit. It evolved. New
right.
York added something. West Coast added something different.
Right.
And now we've got the different textures of jazz.
Right. Many different. And as each one came in, it still exists. So you still have people playing in the New Orleans style, mm-hmm. as well as people playing in the latest styles.
And you also have to take into consideration culturally, traditionally, and the different races, mm-hmm. and the different people talked a certain way. They ate a certain food. The climate was of a certain type. In New Orleans and Louisiana, it gets kind of humidity mm-hmm. and all those types of things. And so you have different types of plants. And those, it affects people. And creatively, you have to look at it in a way that says that we are all human beings and we work together to make a structure that, in an art form, that is distinguished by, with jazz, it's America's only indigenous art form. And so it's something that they love, but it's a creative science to it where it comes together, it melds together. Mm-hmm.
You know, the music's being played all over the world, and so you have the different cultures that add something, like the Europeans add something, and then
the Afro Latin thing.
Yeah, the Latin market.
A lot of stuff has changed.
Even in India, they have a thing that they do.
What was his name, the one we met that played the, and he said, I add a little spirit to it.
Oh, yeah, Badal Roy.
What does he play?
He plays tablas.
Okay.
He's on the Miles Davis, some of his electronic cuts Badal Roy is on.
Now, I'm a big fan of bebop. And again, for those that are listening, a lot of people that just hear jazz think of the smooth jazz that we hear today that's very popular. We hear in elevators and things. But there's some really rocked out jazz and some really left to center spacey jazz out there. The Ornette Coleman's and that kind of
and
stuff.
And the Sun Ra.
Sun Ra, yeah. I mean, it's a limited term because there's so many subcultures, more so even than rock or country or blues or any of that. There's a handful in those.
Yes.
But jazz is all over the board. I think anything that can't be defined is called jazz.
And it's a beautiful expression. You know, when you hear Billy play piano, he not only studied the jazz, but he started with classical music, and it evolved. Like, Billy, you started at age 7 playing piano, and then he evolved, his music evolves, but as you start listening, and you say, well, okay, I'm wanting to emulate what that person is doing. I heard Billie Holiday, when she would sing her song, Strange Fruit even, and Billie to this day doesn't like that song, but it's one that's really... really entrenched.
It's really emotional.
Yeah,
and
Billie Holiday, Ella Fitzgerald. I just loved. She would, to me was a classic, classy guy, a classy lady. And then when I heard Carmen McRae and her stylings, and as you evolve in the music, you either have a love for it. Like Billie has often had people come up to him and say, "Oh, I wish I could have kept playing piano or kept playing my instrument, but I didn't like to have my mother tell me that I had to practice often." And he would have to practice every day.
My mother told me I had to practice, so that wasn't an issue.
And the kids would run by the window and see him up there practicing, and they'd be yelling, "Billy, when you coming out to play?" And his mother said, "You better not go out until you play these."
Yeah, I had to be at the piano an hour every day.
Wow.
You know, that was just understood, so... You know, it wasn't a hassle for me. And then after I got into it, I was at the piano 2 and 3 hours a day.
By choice.
By choice, yeah.
That's when you know you're in the right direction. You've got the calling.
But we want to thank you, too, Tom, because you've invited us to speak, but we also have a liking to you. Because, you know, we appreciate what you do and how you appeal to your audience, but then you let us come on and tell our story.
Well, I think education is the bottom line to music. If you can appreciate it and know about it, you can appreciate it more.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, the event that you hosted the other day was an exceptional event.
Oh, with the Spaniels and the Soul Stirrers.
Man.
That was very cool. They sang so great.
And the
really
one that was
that.
80... Wow,
well, there's two
82?
Of them. Billy's 82, and I think Willie is a little older. I think he might be 83 or 84.
Which is the, wait now.
Billy's the bass singer.
Okay.
Right.
And then Willie is with
Billy
the Soulsters.
Yeah. That's the one that
Willie
was
Rogers.
Sitting
Rogers.
Down on the side.
Right.
He's 80?
He's in his 80s, yes.
Wow, they look good.
And they sound good.
And their voices
and
are
good.
Exceptional. It really was heartfelt. It really was. A lot of people in the audience really
enjoyed
it.
We had fun with that, you know. And again, that's a free thing that we do for Black History Month. We did it last year in the schools at Hobart High School. This year decided to broaden it by adding it to the libraries program. So, yeah, it turned out very well. You've got another song ready, Billy. What are we going
to
play?
This is the song that I use for the theme song to my radio show.
Which is?
The Billy Foster Jazz Zone,
88.7. 88.7 WGVE.
Yeah.
In Gary, in the Career Center.
Yeah, comes on 11 to 1 every Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday.
You can also get it on the internet.
And you can check it out on my website at billyfoster.com.
Okay, and that's a pretty cool show. I've had the pleasure of guesting on your show. That
right.
was fun.
So this is being played by the Valparaiso University Faculty Jazz Trio. I was a member of that.
Mm-hmm. So what is the title of this?
It's
Let's
called
play it.
Straight Strut.
Strut.
I wrote it kind of with Art Blakey in mind. He has this shuffle thing that that he does.
So
that,
it's an original tune you wrote?
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's do it to it. More. Strut. That's an original song written by my guest today, Billy Foster, and that is the Valpo University Faculty Jazz Band?
Yeah,
Trio?
At the time, yeah.
Okay. That's the theme to your radio show?
That's the theme of my radio show.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Well, on I'd like to mention some of the guys that we're going to have
sure.
with us on Tuesday.
And again, Tuesday, if you just tuned in, it's a free concert at IUN Northwest Campus in the Berglund Auditorium.
Yes.
And it's from 6 to 8, February 28th. It's a Black History event, and it's going to be a two-hour program about the evolution of jazz, including a lot of live music playing.
Yeah, we have Frank Russell playing bass with us. We have Lanny Turner on drums. Carl Cohen is on saxophone and electronic wind instrument.
What's that called again?
Iwi.
When we do the electric stuff.
Just think about Kiwi.
Yeah. Renee Miles Foster is going to be singing. And
Frank Russell.
Yeah, that's who I said.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I'll be playing piano.
Okay. Now, are you guys coming in with a prepared set? Because I know a lot of
yes.
times jazz is improv.
No, we have a structure, which has written statements and everything.
Yeah, okay. Well, there's a structure to the program, but there'll certainly be improv because that's the basis of the music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we play a tune, but then we solo on the structure of that tune. So it's always, if it's jazz, it's improvisation.
Okay.
Yeah, so there'll be plenty of that.
How do people find out? Do they need to reserve seats? I know usually at the university they like to have reservations so they know how to set things up. Is there a website or a phone number? Or?
Well, this is in the auditorium, so they don't really have to set anything up. But I can give you a phone number.
Sure.
It's 980-6569.
980-6569.
Area code 219.
Yeah.
And again, that's at IUN right on Broadway there near 94, right at the junction. Easy to find. It's presented by the Office of Diversity, Equality, and Multicultural Affairs.
Right.
Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
That is a long name.
It is.
We got to come up with an acronym
sure
for that. So, so this event, again, those guys are going to be playing with you. Are they normal members of the group?
Yeah, they are.
Okay.
Yeah, they are.
Like blues, there's a lot of swapping out with people. A lot of people show up and play and sit in.
Normally, we'll have Bruce Evans on bass, but he's had a family emergency. So we have Frank Russell, who plays with us from time to time. So,
and then you have your event coming up in April.
Yeah, we have another event coming up in April for the Greater Gary
Jazz Association.
April 30th, we'll be playing that at the Genesis Center in Gary. And
well, what's the gist of that show? Is that just a concert or is it a fundraiser?
Well, it's a concert, but it's a little different. And we have Henry Johnson playing with us on that one.
An exceptional guitar player.
Yeah, he's great. He's currently Ramsey Lewis's guitar player. Spent 13 years playing with Joe Williams and he's played with Donny Hathaway and Jag McDuff, and so Henry's been...
Now he's a local guy, too.
Yeah, he's graduated from Horace Mann. Henry grew up around the corner from me, and so he was in my group early in his early years as a teenager. So he's a great guitar player, and we're happy to have him. Also on that will be Art Hoyle, he's a featured guest, too, with a saxophonist that he normally plays with. And there'll be dinner served at that one, so it's a ticketed affair.
Okay. And that's April what?
April 30th.
At the Genesis Center.
Yeah. And they use the money for scholarships. So,
they'll have their scholarship, the students that receive the scholarships, they receive their awards. And usually
at
it's a
this
monetary,
event.
Yes,
okay.
at the event, and they usually it's a monetary event. So that if they're going to college, they have some monies.
Now, do you have a website where this kind of information can be found for people?
I'm not sure that they do. I don't have all the information for that with me.
Find out about it from your website, Billy Foster, BillyFoster.com.
BillyFoster.com.
Yeah,
you have the listings on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I will have.
Okay, because now Renee said so.
Yeah, now that Renee said so, I definitely...
You will not get any more cooking.
Yeah.
We another thing that we're doing, but this isn't a public event, but it's kind of exciting. We're supposed to be shooting a TV commercial for the University of Chicago Medical Center.
Wow.
Next week, just after the concert. So That's kind of exciting, I think.
Well, what's happened, too, is that Billy is a cancer survivor.
Mm-hmm.
And he had kidney cancer, which metastasized his liver, lung, and brain. And in going through the treatments and finding the various doctors, Dr. Smolowitz and the various team at University of Chicago, they had asked Billy would he be interested in speaking to the Cancer Today magazine, in which case he was interviewed for that. And then now he's been asked to do a spot for the University of Chicago and speaking about his treatment and mm-hmm. his survival and that type of thing.
So you'll get to be part of that as well as provide the music for that too?
Right.
Wow, that's
the trio cool. will be featured.
That's neat.
So
let's play something.
Okay. Well, wanted to talk about the program that you have because you made mention of you were talking about Frankie Valli and some of those guys,
mm-hmm.
and it made me think of the jazz person that Frankie Valli used to hang out with in Newark. His name is Little Jimmy Scott, and Little Jimmy Scott had I won't say a disease, but a situation where his voice is really high and never developed.
Okay.
You know, that. So, but he used to sing with Lionel Hampton and a lot of other people, and a lot of people were influenced by him, including Nancy Wilson, and like I say, Frankie Valli and some others used to hang out with
and
him.
Joe Pesci.
And I want to play something by him, and then I want to play something by another person. I'll explain that later.
Okay.
But this is Little Jimmy Scott singing Angel Eyes.
All right. Little Jimmy Scott on the Lakeshore.
To think that love's not around, still it's uncomfortably near. My old heart ain't gaining no ground, because my angel eyes ain't here. Angel eyes that old devil sent, they glow unbearably bright. Need I say that my love's misspent with angel eyes tonight? So drink up, all you people. On me, pardon me, but I gotta run. The facts uncommonly clear. Gotta find number one.
So that's a sense of how he sounded. And like I say, lots of people hung out and studied with him and copied his voice. And the actor Joe Pesci was one of those. He was a singer before he was an actor.
I didn't know that. That's an interesting. That's one of those many factoids we'll learn at this event on the 28th, right?
Yeah. And about 5 years ago, he made an album with the organist Joey DeFrancesco. And this is Joe Pesci singing.
And what song are we going to be hearing?
Dearly Beloved.
So Joe Pesci, the actor, before he was an actor, was a singer.
Yeah.
And this is what he sounded like.
Well,
and
this is what he sounded like about five. Well, this is what he sounds like now.
Okay. And he was influenced by the artist we just heard, Little Jimmy Scott.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. So there's a correlation. This is Joe Pesci.
Beloved, how clearly I see, somewhere in heaven you were fashioned for me. Angel eyes, I knew you. Angel voices led me to nothing could save me. Fate gave me a sign. I knew that I'd be yours, come shower or shine. So I say, merely, dearly beloved.
Thought about that, Tom, as a connection with your
That's
program.
That's pretty cool. Joe Pesci, yeah. Singing jazz.
Singing jazz.
On A Look at the Arts.
It's very cool.
Sounds good.
Funk it. I know. It's
good.
I'm thinking of Home Alone while he's doing it.
I know.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Different side of it just goes to show that all the talents one person can have.
And yeah, really.
Speaking of that, in the studio with us, Renee Miles Foster, singer, musician, great cook, I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Illustrator, painter. I mean, how did you get into the painting end? Because you've done a lot of that.
Well, at Holy Angel School back mm-hmm. in the day, you know how you have art classes and that
right.
kind of thing. So you learn about the arts and you start to have a greater appreciation for it. My uncle was an exceptional artist. And then I saw his work and I was saying, well, maybe I can do such and such. So from there, then I went on to college, and my major was going to be biology, but I always liked the art, so I kind of...
That was a big jump, yeah.
It was a big jump, but I'm still kind of into the medical field and stuff. I was a phlebotomist for a hot second.
Okay.
Yeah, and then from there moved on, and then became an owner of my own company, which is called Vittles. And then from there, I had a catering company and did well
so you
for
really
30
do a lot
some
of
odd
cooking.
Years. Well, I did. I okay. recently retired. But I'm working on a cookbook so that I can then kind of hone all my recipes and everything together.
All right. So when is that coming out? Is there a target date?
No, not a target date. You know, you have to really compile it, mm-hmm. and I'm taking my own photos and that type of thing. So put my own book together.
All right. Billy, what's your favorite dish that she makes? Her specialty.
Anything she cooks.
Oh, that's
so safe.
Yeah, that's sweet. That's sweet. He likes
He's
my
no
peach
fool.
Cobbler.
You know, I've often said, you know, when Renee likes to go out to restaurants, and, mm-hmm. and I always say, well, I get my best meals at home.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's nice. It's not even Valentine's Day.
I
have to treat him really well tonight.
So this show is going to be going on again February 28th. It celebrates Black History. It's at IUN, Berglund Auditorium on the campus here in Gary. A two-hour show, 6 to 8, open to the public. Everybody's invited. It's free of charge. And we're going to hear a little bit of history, and we're going to hear a whole lot of music. And let's talk a little bit about some of your inspirations in jazz? Who most influenced you, Billy, on piano?
You know, early on, I have some definite people that I think influenced me, but you know, as I go on, I kind of like everybody. Everybody, the thing about jazz is that everybody's different. Mm-hmm. And everybody does something that the other person doesn't do. And so I really like them all. Early on, I liked a lot of Oscar Peterson and Herbie Hancock, Keith Jarrett, those people that everybody likes. But, you know,
Keith Jarrett's one of those guys that kind of falls between the cracks a little bit. Everybody's heard of Oscar. Keith Jarrett, not so much. Hardcore jazz
fan. Yeah, probably so. He was a wonderful pianist, though.
But who is the one that you have a picture of that you have behind your head at the piano?
Oh, that's Duke Ellington, of course. Yeah, of course. I don't know how I slipped up on that. I was thinking about pianists, but as a musician, Duke
I told
Ellington.
Him he's been having that picture behind his on the wall for so long behind him as he practices and does his little playing. I said, you're starting to look like the man.
You've played with some of your personal heroes over the years. You've been very fortunate to sit in and get to know some of these guys. Who has most impressed you, and why?
Well, they all impressed me for different reasons. But the one thing that impresses me about all those guys that are at the top is their passion for playing, and they come to play and they kind of raise your level. The way, I guess, sort of like a good football player, a good basketball player mm-hmm. raises the level of the team. Well, the greats do that. We've had the pleasure of playing with people like Jimmy Heath and James Moody and, Randy Brecker. I'm just a
Clark
Bobby
Terry.
Watson, Clark Terry, Art Farmer, Terrell Stafford recently, Vincent Gardner, Curtis Fuller, just any number of guys. And they've all been a great experience for different reasons.
And it's also not just that they play the music, they live that music.
Mm-hmm.
And their stories and things that they talk about, the foods that they eat. It's an enjoyment.
Food again.
You know,
yeah.
We were at the jazz showcase, and Terrell Stafford was there. And he and his friend, they were breaking their neck to go to this hot dog place. So they made it to the hot dog place, but they came back a little late. So he blamed it on his friend. He said, but the hot dogs are good.
Yeah.
Now, one of the greats that we recently lost, Al Jarreau, just a few days ago, he had some Chicago roots. Did you guys ever get a chance to work with Al Jarreau?
Didn't get to work with him. Saw him a few times, mm-hmm. but no, didn't get a chance. He's from Milwaukee.
Right. But he used to play here a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was the Holiday Star.
Good Midwest guy.
Wonderful mm-hmm. singer. Unusual in his own right.
I mean, he got awards in R&B, jazz, yes. and mm-hmm. pop mm-hmm. music. That's mm-hmm. that's quite a mm-hmm. trifecta.
It is.
I guess this is kind of off the beaten path, but I used to like to hear him sing the theme to Moonlighting.
Mm-hmm. That was a big hit.
Yeah. It was good, too.
We also lost a friend of this show, Larry Coryell, who was on just a few months ago, passed
Isn't
away.
Isn't that something? That's a shocker.
It's a trend again. You know, just like in 2016, all the rock guys, now it looks like we're going to have a jazz bad year for jazz. But speaking of which, let's play a final song and then fade out with this hometown fella. Again, introduce the song we're going to play.
This is Alexandra. This is Henry Johnson. This is a cut of Henry's that I was on many years ago. It's kind of in the more jazz pop vein than the bebop or straight ahead. But this is Henry at the guitar. Great guitar.
Our guest today, Billy Foster, Renee Miles Foster. Catch him on February 28th at Indiana University Northwest for a free concert. BillyFoster.com is where you'll find him online, and you can catch up with all the different events we've talked about and purchase some of your music, too.
That's right.
All right. Thank you so much for coming out.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you, Tom.
And thank you for supporting Public Radio.